Lord and Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our guide, your spirit our teacher, and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ our supreme concern. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I wonder if you're someone who suffers from depression, or if you know someone close to you who does. According to the mental health charities, this year about one in four of us will have some kind of mental health issue in one way or another. One in four. And one in ten of us will have a mixture of anxiety and depression that is the most commonly treated form of depression or mental health issue. One in ten. And that might be you. Bound to be some of us here today. And holiday time is probably a particularly bad time for it. When everyone else is enjoying themselves and being sociable, you don't want to be sociable. And it makes it feel worse. And maybe you feel sort of sub-Christian. You're not living up to the standard that Jesus expects. This is a sin. This is something that you're not able to deal with. And you should be able to, because you're a Christian. Well, on the contrary, Jesus is able to save and shepherd you exactly as you are. It's not a sin. This is part of our human condition that needs his help. And today's passage, Jesus at the temple, is going to help us to see why Jesus is able to help as he can. He also helps us as we deal with and cope with life-threatening illness. Lots of people have asked me, how was your Christmas? And in lots of ways, we had a great Christmas, and it's been nice being away for a bit. We've seen family and friends. It's great. But casting a shadow over all of it was the news that Claire's dad, my father-in-law, has got a brain tumour. Now, fortunately, he's responded really well to treatment, and the outlook for him isn't as bad as it could be. But still, it's a really tough thing to face, particularly for him. And some people, when they face that kind of thing, ask the question, does God have any idea what I'm going through? Or maybe you with your family, does God have any idea what we're going through? Good news from this passage today is that Jesus is able to save and shepherd us in those difficult situations. And the big thing in the passage that leads us to this is seeing that Jesus is both human and divine. He's a human being, a complete human being like we are, but he's also God on earth. We're looking at Luke's gospel at the moment. We started right at the beginning of Luke. We're going through another couple of sermons still to come in chapter 3. And as we go through, Luke has been unveiling Jesus to us. Even as a baby, he's been showing us important things about Jesus' identity. I've got a coffee question for you. I'll bring this up now, but you can think about this over coffee. If you're stuck for something, you ask each other. What difference does Jesus, being human and divine, make for you? It's kind of the latest stage in Jesus' identity as we put these together. So over coffee, if you're stuck for a conversation starter, what difference does Jesus, being human and divine, make to you? Have a look at verse 51. Halfway through, it says, but Jesus' mother treasured all these things in her heart. Now, if you're here over Christmas, you'll remember there's a very similar verse right at the end of the event with the shepherds. Mary treasured these things in her heart. And it's very likely that Luke got these events from Mary, maybe firsthand from her. You can imagine Luke meeting Mary, maybe as Luke traveled with Paul and they ended up in Jerusalem. Maybe he met Mary there. He said, Mary, Mary, look, tell me, you've told me about Jesus' birth. I've got that. I haven't got a lot of space in my gospel, but tell me one thing from his childhood that kind of sums up Jesus for you. And Mary scratched her head and went, one thing? Yeah, just one thing. Well, there was this time at the temple. And we get today's passage. Jesus 12. It's the Passover. It's a family event. Kind of thing that you go to with all your family if you were someone who trusted in God. A Jewish person who trusted in God at that time. And they go and they have a great time. They do the Passover and they go home back to Nazareth again. But on the way, in this big crowd of family and extended family, Jesus' parents realize he's not there. Oh, nightmare. What awful parents they are. So they rush back to Jerusalem and find him eventually, And they find him in the temple. Well, we'll see what happens when we get to that point in the passage. Well, we'll see what happens now. There's a bombshell when they find him in the temple, because he says, verse 49, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Whoa, what is that all about from a 12-year-old? Well, let's see. First thing we're going to find in this passage is this, that Jesus can understand you because he was like you. Jesus can understand you because he was like you. This passage shows us that Jesus is human. He's a human being. Verses 41 to 45 describe family life for a 12-year-old, a normal 12-year-old. It's what would have happened with any 12-year-old in a family that was a God-trusting family at that time. He lives with his parents. He's got brothers and sisters, not mentioned here, but mentioned elsewhere in Luke. They do stuff together. Verse 41, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom, and so on. In this occasion, Jesus ends up kind of lost as far as they're concerned, and it takes them 3 days to find him. I think it's not quite as bad as it sounds. I think the first day is them traveling. The second day is them going back to Jerusalem. The third day is them finding Jesus. We're not told how he looked after himself, but he's obviously fit and healthy when they find him. So he was okay. But he's human here, isn't he? He's a 12-year-old boy. Now, there are stories around about Jesus' childhood, not in Luke's gospel, not in Matthew, Mark, or John either. There are all sorts of fanciful things. Have a look on the internet and dig up the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. It's a horrendous book. It has Jesus basically killing his classmates when they bump into him. It's bizarre. It was rejected by Christians very early on as a load of rubbish because they saw this was not true and not about the real Jesus. So there's lots of rubbish around. But here we've just got this simple story of Jesus as a 12-year-old. And notice that he's an ordinary one. He's not in a palace. When God came to earth as a human being and was a human being, he didn't come and live in a palace, all sort of cosseted and looked after, right, with someone to kind of polish his slippers and that sort of thing. I don't know if you've been to Kensington Palace in London, you can go and visit it and walk around it. And when Queen Victoria was this age, she lived in Kensington Palace. And her mum took great care of her. And she wasn't allowed to walk down the stairs unless someone accompanied her. None of that for Jesus. He lived in Nazareth. His dad was a carpenter. He mucked around with the kids. He lived an ordinary, simple life. Jesus is human. You might say, well, yes, of course. But there have been, over the course of history, various suggestions that Jesus wasn't really human. But in some way, God came to earth, but sort of visited and veiled himself and looked like a human, a bit like a Doctor Who alien. You've watched Doctor Who, and the aliens turn up looking like a human being, but in fact, they've got three heads and six eyes and everything. As if Jesus sort of, as if God came to earth and pretended to be like one of us. But no, he didn't. When God came to earth, he was one of us, a real human being. And you see all sorts of examples of this in the Gospels. You go to John chapter 4, Jesus is at the well in Samaria. We're told he's hungry and he's thirsty. He's tired. Mark 11, he goes into Jerusalem and he's hungry, so he goes looking for some fruit on a tree. John 11, at Lazarus's tomb, Jesus weeps human tears. He feels human sadness. He's one of us. Jesus is human. And because Jesus is human, he can understand you because he was like you. It's very important, this, isn't it? Very important that he's a human being. Two particular reasons, and there are others, but in particular, it means that he is able to be your substitute. He's able to represent you and be your substitute as he dies on the cross. That's vital, isn't it? That's right at the heart of what we believe, the gospel. If you think of the gospel in terms of a courtroom scene, and this is one of the ways the Bible talks about it. And in a court, it's as if we're in the dock and we're guilty and we're given the death sentence because of our guilt before God. We've been rebels against him. So we receive the death sentence. But Jesus is standing there in the crowd watching, not guilty of anything before God his Father. And he steps up and he takes our place. exchanges with us. He's a substitute, like in a football game or something like that. Exchanges with us our place, and he dies instead and takes that death penalty for us, leaving us free to live eternal life. Jesus is risen from dead, and so we can live that with him. But that's what we need. We need someone who can take our place, one of us. He's got to be one of us to die for us. Imagine you're playing a hockey match or something. You're a hockey player and you're whacking the ball around. You trip and sprain your ankle. You can't play on. You need a substitute. And there's a guy standing on the line. He's all dressed in white and he's got these funny pads that goes up to his knees. And he's not got a long hockey stick. He's got this funny little bat thing and he comes on. He's got a helmet. It's a cricketer. A useless substitute. Can't take your place on the hockey field. You need a hockey player. Get another hockey player over as your substitute. And it's same for us with Jesus dying on the cross. It's no good if a cow dies for us or something like that. It's not like you. It's not a human being. It's not someone who could have sinned but didn't. We need Jesus to be our substitute. He must be one of us to die for us. And he is. And he is. But also, because he's human, he's able to understand us as a human. It's not that Jesus has experienced everything that we've experienced. We don't know if Jesus was ever depressed. It doesn't say anything about that. But he would have seen it. Friends of his will have been. He'll have known it firsthand. You know that song, From a Distance? Bette Midler sang it and Cliff Richard. Twaddle. It's absolutely rubbish. People think it's a great Christian song. It's not. Hear the words. From a distance there is harmony and it echoes through the land. So on. From a distance we all have enough and no one is in need. God is watching, God is watching, God is watching from a distance. You know, as if it kind of all blurs for God and it's all fine. No. God has come. Right up close to. And he's been here, he's got his hands dirty. He's known sorrow, pain, hunger, thirst, oppression, betrayal. He's seen sickness firsthand and death. One of us, close to. And this is brilliant for us, isn't it? Because maybe you are suffering from depression. Maybe a friend of yours is. This isn't a sin to be repented of. This is part of being human in this broken world. And Jesus understands. And Jesus weeps with you. And Jesus is alongside you throughout that. Maybe someone you love has an illness that you know is going to shorten their life. Does God have any idea what you're going through? Yes. Yes, firsthand, 30 plus years living side by side with us, people like us, as one of us, our Lord Jesus. Jesus can understand you because he was like you. And there's more. Jesus can save and shepherd you because he's divine as well. The passage goes on to show us that he is the divine Son of God. And the issue is here in the passage, who is his father? Who is his father? He's obviously looked after by Joseph, isn't he? But throughout the passage from the first verse, his parents are emphasized. So every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home. And you get down to verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us?" Mother says, son, get it? I mean, this is incidental. Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Parents. Why were you searching for me? Jesus asked, verse 49. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Not a little semi-detached in Nazareth with a load of carpentry outside. The temple in Jerusalem. Who is his father? God. See? He knows he's the divine Son of God. And that explains verses 46 and 47. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Yes. Wisdom beyond his years, because he's come from heaven. Brings with him divine truth. And he grows at the end. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. He's the divine Son of God. Now, of course, you see this throughout the Gospels, don't you? Because this is the big thing that the Gospel writers want us to see about Jesus. What is the point of the miracles? Well, who is it that can calm a storm, feed 5,000, walk on water, make the blind see? Only someone with divine authority. Only Jesus, the Son of God. What is the source of his teaching? When Jesus claims to be that one we've learned about with John 3:16, who we can trust in and have eternal life, where does that teaching come from? From heaven. He's the divine Son of God. He brings divine truth. Jesus shows that he's the divine Son. And this is vitally important for two reasons or more. First of all, it means that he's able to be without sin. He's able to be without sin. Now, we need that. If he's only human, then there's no way he can fight temptation and win. But because he's human and divine, he can, and he did. And so when he stood there, as it were, in that courtroom, that divine courtroom, he was innocent and could take our place, able to be without sin. If he'd sinned himself, he would need to die for that himself. But because he's divine, he was able to fight that temptation. But not only that, he's able to die for all of us, not just one of us. Again, if he was just human, his death would only have enough value, as it were, to stand in for one of us. Who would be that lucky person? I don't know. But since he's divine, his death has the value before his Father to be accepted for all who trust in him across time and space. Wonderful. This is good news, isn't it? Imagine Dragon's Den without any money. You know Dragon's Den, the Teddy program, I think it started again, where you've got these four rich business people, and you, the entrepreneur, get to stand in front of them and pitch to them your amazing gadget. Now imagine they like your gadget. They think it's wonderful. And so the first dragon says to you, dragon is shorthand for entrepreneur with lots of money, business person. First dragon says to you, oh, I think your gadget is great. I have a chain of hairdressing salons and I want to use it there. And, I've got no money. Sorry. The second dragon says, oh, I think it's fantastic. I'm a retailing magnate and your gadget is just right for us. And I've got no money. I'm out. It goes down the line. All four of them, no money. This would be what it was like if Jesus was just human. His death wouldn't be able to stand for all of us. But no, Jesus has the divine riches of being the Son of God. And his death is the resource, as it were, in that picture, that we all can benefit from. He's able to die for all. This is the wonderful good news of Jesus, isn't it? For you and me. Because it matters individually to us. Jesus can save and shepherd you because he's divine. The cross works for you. He took your place if you want it. And if you haven't accepted that yet, you can. It's a gift waiting for you to receive. Maybe you need to know more about it. We've got a Christianity Explored course starting soon. There are cards in the pews. Just grab one of those, fill it in and hand it in. He's able to save and shepherd you today, and he knows you. He knows what's best for you. And if you do trust in him, then that's the right thing to do, isn't it? Because he is divine. So we need to trust in him and submit to him as our divine saviour and shepherd. Maybe you do have depression. He can save and shepherd you through depression. As a saviour, you are his. And won by him, safe in his hands, whatever you're feeling. It's the cross that did it, not your feelings. And so you're safe with him, whatever happens. However deep a hole you get into, Jesus is your saviour still. And the day will come when you'll never feel like that again. And in the meantime, while you wait, he's keeping hold of you as your saviour. And as a shepherd, he knows and loves and cares for you. You might think you have no value on this world. He values you and loves you. And in the darkest times, he's with you and keeping hold of you. Maybe you're coping with an illness that will shorten your life dramatically. Or your husband or wife or someone you love. Again, he's your saviour in that because of his divine and human nature. And he has won you for himself. And that person you love, if they're trusting in Jesus, he's won them for themselves. Think of Ian, my father-in-law, with a brain tumour. Safe in God's hands, whatever he feels, whatever that tumour does, whatever happens. And the day will come when you will never have that disease or that illness again, when it will be over. And until then, he's keeping hold of you as your saviour. Because he died on the cross with all that divine power. That means it covers you today, whatever a mess of illness you're going through. And he's your shepherd too, in that illness, caring for you, loving you, valuing you, giving you dignity, whatever the world may say of your condition. Keeping hold of you in the very darkest times. What about healing, you might say? What about healing? Would Jesus heal me in my depression or my illness? Well, if this had been AD 30, and we were living in Galilee, Claire and I would bundle up, Claire's dad, and we'd rush him off to Jesus. It would be a simple matter of presenting him before Jesus. Jesus would lay his hands on his head, or would just say the word, and it would be gone, fully gone. Today, our Lord God definitely has the power and the ability to do whatever he wants with our illnesses. But it seems, from our experience, and it seems from what he actually promises in the Bible and what he doesn't promise, it seems that most of his help is there for us in those illnesses. And that he transforms the way we suffer, transforms your depression, he transforms your brain tumour, whatever, the way you suffer. And his will and his glory is seen far more clearly in us by helping us to fix our eyes on him, on Jesus. Helping us to keep our hope in him, in Jesus. And helping us to be sure of that promise that he makes of a secure future with him, with Jesus, whatever happens. He changes the way we experience these things. That's not to say he doesn't bring about healing, but he doesn't promise to heal, whereas he does promise to help and transform us, because he can save and shepherd us to his eternal glory, because he's divine and human. Does God have any idea what we're going through? Yes, he does. Jesus can understand you because he's like you. And Jesus can save and shepherd you because he's divine. So let me ask you, are you taking Jesus seriously? Survey's been done, and they reckon that 30% of people in this country think that Jesus was an important teacher, spiritual person of some sort. 17% or 19%, I can't remember which, think that Jesus is just a man. Some people think Jesus didn't exist. Now, if you're one of those people, you need to take Jesus seriously. Not just a person, not just a special teacher, but the divine Son of God, who's able to understand you because he's human and save and shepherd you because of what he's done and who he is. More than just a teacher, even at age 12 in the temple. Maybe you are trusting in Jesus. We need to be sure, don't we? And this passage helps us to be sure that we can trust him as saviour and shepherd in the face of depression, in the darkest hole, in the hospital bed, to gather around someone we love, and as they don't recognise us anymore, still able to save and shepherd us and them. Because he's human and divine. Let's pray. Just spend a moment in our own hearts, bringing our praise and our thoughts, our questions to God. Amen.